thank God for the mountain, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He saw me. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Amen. Glad we got through it all.
Oh, the timing of that is such a different song. But aren't you thankful that God gets us through it all, the life's difficulties, the situations that come, the good times, the bad times. He is faithful. We truly have a faithful God. I am thankful for that. Sanctification. What is it? Kind of makes me think of a question. Manna. Makes me think of manna in the Old Testament. Manna literally means... what is it? What is it that God gave us? Well, sanctification, what is it? It's a big word I know we've talked about, and yet trying to get it so that our kids can understand it as well, but so that we as adults can grasp what it means so that we can be sanctified every day. It's something that God wants us to continue to do as we grow in life. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity we have to listen to your word. God, we pray that our hearts would be tuned to worship you as we spend time in your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Confidence. Confidence is another big word, but when we think about being confident, we know it's going to happen. How many of you had confidence, complete confidence, in the pew you're sitting in tonight? Every one of us did, didn't we? How many of you stopped and wondered, is that going to hold me up? Well, no. You have complete confidence. Have you ever gone to sit in a chair, though, you didn't have confidence in? And maybe you had confidence and someone pulled the chair out a little bit too far in the back when you weren't noticing. And we don't have to worry that God won't be there for us. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. We can have that confidence. Well, one of those things we can be confident about is that God will continue working in our lives. When you get saved, there's a work that begins. And we're going to talk about sanctification in three different forms tonight. So there'll be some definitions and some illustrations, thanks to Ben, that will help us hopefully grasp through some of these things. The word sanctification literally means setting apart of a person or a thing, a classification. Now, I know, kids, some of those things are big. So think about being set apart. This piano is set apart from that electric piano. They are on opposite sides of the auditorium. We have a great gulf between us, right? This side is separated from this side. And it seems like everybody likes this side, right? And this is for those who say, I'm willing to stand up for Jesus and be alone or whatever it may be. But we think about set apart or being sanctified, set apart from each other. We can see that in the Bible, that we need to be separate from the world, if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, to be separate from the world. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, we had talked about that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And remember, a couple weeks ago, we spent some time dealing with verses 15, 16, and 17 through that aspect of being separate or sanctified from the world. Well, tonight we're getting into 1 John chapter 3, and we'll look at the first three verses. Follow along as I read 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now that word sanctification is not found in any one of those verses. though the word is found in the Bible. But these verses illustrate three different forms of sanctification. I kind of want to give you a heads up of where we're going so you can kind of hopefully this will all make a little more sense. First tonight we're going to talk about positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. My position, your position. We all are in a position in the auditorium. We've got over here, we've got over there, and then every pew, or you might be in the same pew as other people, but you've got your position on that pew. Think of a race, the NASCAR. How many of you enjoy NASCAR? They have their position, and they have their starting position, and they have the qualifications before that so they can get their starting position. Everybody has a position. First off, tonight we're going to talk about positional sanctification. Secondly, tonight we're going to talk about practical, secondly is ultimate sanctification. Ultimate, or if you will, permanent, if you're wanting another P, permanent sanctification. So, I mean, we think about so many different things. I guess the first things that comes to my mind, we think of a permanent relationship, at least here on earth, is what? Marriage. And we think about the wedding band, the circle, and so many different aspects that we can look at and that is compared to at a wedding. But the permanency of that relationship. One man with one woman for life, yet we know other things happen, but that is God's intent. That is what God's word is teaches us. But we think of the permanency of that. But then we think of, okay, so someday I will have permanent sanctification, permanent set apart. Again, we'll talk through some of that. Or ultimate, not the ultimate frisbee, like, man, you can play frisbee in a field with all these kinds of people and all sorts of sweet stuff that you can do, but the highest form, if you will, of sanctification. It won't go beyond that. And then third and finally, we're going to talk about practical or progressive sanctification. Practical. That which is evident in your life. If you went to the YMCA for swimming lessons, would you expect them to give you some practical tips on how to swim? You move your arms like this, or you kick your legs like this as you're in the water to try to stay afloat, or this is how you hold your breath. There's some practical tips. Well, when we talk about practical sanctification, there's just some practical things in our life that God wants to make a difference in. And in 1 John 3, we see some of these three different types of sanctification talked about. Verse number 1, we see the idea of positional sanctification. Number 1 again, positional sanctification. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what? Sons of God. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we think about that aspect of becoming a child of God. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we think of being a child of God. It comes at the point of what? I heard it. Salvation. Okay, so when we get saved, we are adopted into the family of God. There is a new position that you and I have. We are not part of the devil's family. We are part of God's family. Ben, if you could come up here. Positional sanctification. We're going to use this, the grand piano, though I like it even more than an electric piano, but we're going to use this as the world. Okay, this is the world, this is the devil's family, this aspect. So now we're talking about sanctification. What kind of sanctification? Positional sanctification. What position is Ben in compared to God? Is he on God's side or on the devil's side right here? The devil's side. So we've got this. Now, praise the Lord, he's saved. He's told me he's saved. And he looks like it. He lives like it in his behavior. We'll talk about that in the practical sanctification aspect. But here's part of the devil's family. When Ben gets saved, he doesn't positionally stay over here. He goes over here to God's family. So if you go over here, Ben, his position has changed. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so that incredible aspect of love from God, he has changed positions. When you think about a baseball team, sometimes a man will on the professional team, sometimes a man will play a couple different positions. Usually he works hard at one position, but sometimes he'll play a couple different positions. But it's only one position at a time. When we're talking about positional sanctification, you move from being unsaved to being saved and now a child of God. Thanks, you can be seated for this time. We'll get you back. So we think about positional sanctification. When God moves us to his family because of the work Jesus Christ has done, it is a gift of love. Behold what manner of love. It is an incredible gift of love. Now, in our family devotions, we just finished up 1 Corinthians 13. I think our kids are pretty excited because they're like, how long are we going to stay in 1 Corinthians 13, Dad? But when we're talking about 1 Corinthians 13, what is one of the words that we see over and over and over again? Okay, charity. I'm glad at least one of them got something out of it. Okay, charity. And charity really means what? Love. God has shown us so much love. When we think about charity in the United States of America, we think about people helping others, right? We think of helping practical needs. Well, love is so much more than that. But God has shown us charity. We don't deserve heaven. God has moved us positionally when we're saved. He's moved us from the devil's family to his family. His own. We talked about the inheritance a couple Sunday mornings ago and even this morning talking about the gifts that God had given to his children, the land, the boundaries, other things. Well, there are so many blessings that we have when God moves us into his family. And that is a gift of love. John 3:16, probably a verse that most of us in here know. Some of you don't remember a time not knowing that verse. Let's say it slowly and think about the words. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Sometimes, maybe not you, but sometimes I've just rattled that off, and man, I can get through that in one breath. Take a deep breath at the end and we're done. But the reality of that verse, it teaches us what kind of sanctification? Positional. So we think about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when I'm here, Jesus died, so I don't have to be here, but positionally I can be God's Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I right now have everlasting life. Not just when we die, but we have it right now. We will continue living forever. And we have the confidence, there's that word again, confidence that because of that positional sanctification, where are we going? Heaven. Because I am positionally sanctified, I'm going to heaven. Now, did I do anything to get that positional sanctification? No work of my own. I had to believe, didn't I? Believe that Jesus is the way. Paul says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be positionally sanctified. Is really what that means. I am now in God's family. I am saved. I am positionally different. That doesn't make me more special than someone who's still over there not saved. It just means I've received God's gift of love and they need it too. And so our goal is we have this positional sanctification. One, it reminds us to praise God for his great love, his gift of love that I don't deserve. Behold, look what John is saying here. He says, behold, stop, look, gaze at what manner of love, what kind of love God has shown us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated in an incredible way his love toward us, and that while I was yet a sinner, positionally, Christ died for us so I could be positionally sanctified in God's family. And so here, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I don't deserve that. Adoption. How many of you know someone who's been adopted? Okay, many of us know someone who's been adopted. Maybe you were adopted or you've got a close friend or family member who's been adopted. And man, I love adoption. Now, yes, I have 6 kids, but I love adoption. And I think there's a special place for adoption. And excited about that. I've got some family members who have adopted a cousin who they had one biological child and they adopted 3 others. They have a multicultural family, if you will. It's incredible to see how God has put their family together and they're raising those kids to love God. And man, adoption is special. We had a family in our church back in Muskegon who adopted. And adoption has a special place. What does adoption do? That child that wasn't born by that parent, not a biological child of them, but positionally made them part of their family, separated them from what they were to the new family. That's what God has done for us. He has adopted us because of Jesus Christ. When we think of John 3:16, it's not simply God, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? It says only begotten son. We can think through some of that aspect because John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Jehovah's Witness like to say that Jesus was just a son of God. No, he was the only begotten son of God. There is a special thing about Jesus. He himself was God. You and I don't ever become God. We don't become as Jesus was. Now, someday we will be like him. We'll talk about that in sanctification as well. But positionally, it is the gift of love that I've been adopted from the devil's family to God's family. Aren't you thankful? When were you saved? Anybody, real quick. Somebody, when did you get saved? Katira? When you were three. 1975. Somebody else? 13 years old. 13. Anybody else? 9. 4. Josiah? 5. Amen. 2015. So that is when you were positionally sanctified, separated from the devil's family unto God's family. Aren't you thankful? Now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to be positionally sanctified. That is for you to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus loves you. Like the song says, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Well, how do little ones belong to him? When they get positionally sanctified. And yes, these are big words that, yes, as kids, you can learn. Not just, you know, some big words. But these are important truths. You're part of God's family. That's exciting. Positionally sanctified. Us who've been saved longer. Man, I think in my life I've been saved, 31 years now. Man, some of these truths just hit me. Man, it gets exciting. And we need to let our salvation be exciting because I am different than what I was. I am positionally sanctified unto God. I'm set apart from the world unto God. Positionally, in my position. So we think of that ultimate position in Christ. He gave us that, a gift of love. And we can look through that. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 15, let me read this passage for you here real quick. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of our Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There's that positional sanctification. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold your traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He said, because you have been positionally sanctified, now you need to let yourself be practically sanctified. Now we'll get to that in a minute. We won't have practical sanctification, remember, is number 3, not number 2. But he's saying, you have positionally been set apart by God, unto God, part of his family. Because of that, you need to live different. I think of a young family back in Muskegon who adopted a little girl. That's who I'm thinking of right now. Their family name is the Lehighs. And they adopted little Abigail. Now, that wasn't her name. They changed her name at adoption. They got her, I think she was, what, a day old, 2 days old when they got her from the hospital. And they had her through the whole process. Incredible just to watch God do that. Well, when they finally were able to adopt her, man, I was excited. We were at the court hearing that, not the hearing, just the whole finalization of that adoption, and what an exciting day it was. I don't know if you've ever been part of an adoption. It's incredible. And as we think through that aspect, Abigail is now Abigail, what is it, Grace? Abigail Grace Lehi. And man, she is now a Lehi. She acts like, I mean, she's learning from her parents. They aren't her biological parents, but she's theirs. And positionally, she's theirs. But practically, she's living like a Lehi. She goes to the family reunions and the family because she's part of that family. That's how God wants us to be. We're not part of the devil's family anymore if we're saved. So let's stop living like it. Now we'll get to that in just a second. Positional sanctification. Big words, I know. Positionally, I'm set apart unto God. It was a gift of adoption. Galatians 4. Let's look at that real quick as well. Galatians 4, verse 3. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what position were we in? Over here, the devil's family or God's family? What's this saying here? The devil's family, okay? I'm in their bondage. It says, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did Jesus Christ come? So that I didn't have to be over here. But because of Jesus, I am moved positionally over here to God's hand. Aren't you thankful? That was God's plan. That's incredible. It wasn't what are we going to do? Now they sinned. God said, we've made man in our own image. Yes, there's only one God, but the triuneness of God. We see, he said, okay, when the fullness of time was come, Jesus came forth. Look at what verse number 6 says. Not just verse 5 was to receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm an heir of God. I've positionally changed, so now I have an inheritance from God. And that brings us to ultimate sanctification or permanent sanctification. Positionally, right now, if I'm saved, and I am, if you're saved, we are positionally in whose family? God's family. We're set apart from the devil's family into God's family, which then number 2 brings us to ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification. There's a completion. When we think about school, Megan and Ben, when you thought about upper education, there was a point you were looking forward to being done, right? I mean, you go with a purpose, and it's like, oh, I'm ultimately done. And Ben's going back for more trouble, I think, to be an intern this year. But no, he's excited about that, and man, I'm excited for him and the continued growth God's going to do in his life and how God's going to use him at camp. Do you think God's going to use Ben at camp? He is. And do you think God's going to use Megan in marriage and in the church as much as we don't want her to leave us? Is God going to use her in a church down there? Yeah. As they continue to be sanctified. Positionally, they're saved. Ultimately, we'll all someday be like him. Look at verse number 2. Back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, is this saying positionally we are the sons of God? Is that positional sanctification? Yes, right? Yes. Yes. Okay. That is positional. Yes. That is positional sanctification. Well, now we are the sons of God, it says. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, there's a lot of big wording in here, so follow along. We'll talk about this in a second here. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so positionally, I'm saved. I'm in God's family. I'm a child of God. I am adopted. I'm a child of the King. I think that was played on the piano as an offertory recently here. And man, what a blessing. Aren't you thankful we're adopted and into God's family? There's that positional sanctification. Well, now ultimately, there's an end to that. I told you about Abigail Grace Lehi, this little girl. What is she, 5 or 6, something like that? I think just younger than Josiah. And man, it's neat to watch her grow up. Ultimately, man, she's part of that Lehi family. She will be a Lehi until she gets married and changes her name someday. And ultimately, she has that reward, that inheritance of being the daughter of Carson and Kirsten. And it's exciting to see that. Ultimately, you and I have an ultimate sanctification. Remember, sanctification means to be set apart, right? So, Ben, if you can come up here again. So, Ben, right here, before he got saved, he was in whose family? The devil's family. He was positionally unsanctified, if you'd say that. Now he gets saved, and he goes over here. He's in God's family, and now he is positionally what? Sanctified. Okay. Now he's still living on earth here, okay? So these are positions on earth. Now, we could put another one. Why don't we go to the window? If you go over to that far window there, that's heaven. Now, man, I don't you think, well, heaven's going to be greater than that. But that illustrates for us heaven there. Ben, on earth, became part of God's family. Positionally, he was God's son. Someday, ultimately, he'll be sanctified because he'll get to heaven and he'll be like him. He shall see him as he is. And that's going to be the same for you and I. Here on earth, man, we're in God's family. God's changes doesn't mean life's always easy, does it? No. But God is faithful. I'm the son of God. I'm the child of God. What a blessing. Now, Ben, someday he's going to die. And we hope it's later rather than sooner. Man, that fullness of life. But we don't know when that time will come for any of us. When we die and we know Jesus is Savior, that is our ultimate or permanent sanctification. Thanks, Ben. You can take a seat here. Our ultimate or permanent sanctification. Again, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Positionally, I'm the son of God. Now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What does the word appear mean? Okay, so what was that? So it's visible. It came forth. It appeared. You ever, man, I love video editing and I enjoy doing stuff with that. You can take two shots of the same screen. Let's say we've got, we're taking a video of me up here. And we take a video with me not up here. You can blend the two so that all of a sudden I just appear. I didn't walk on stage, I just became visible. You and I right now, we don't see that ultimate sanctification. We're promised it. Someday I'll be like him, for I will see him as he is, this verse says. Ultimately, man, I will be without sin. I have my sin nature. I'm saved where I became the positionally the Son of God, but I still have a sin nature. Right? Don't you see that every day? Positionally, I'm the Son of God. That's why Hebrews reminds us God chastens us. Because positionally, I'm in His family. But I'm not ultimately sanctified yet. Now, some people take this passage and others similar to it and make it to believe or teach that there's a point of sinless perfection on earth. And that's a sad heresy, really. I know that's a strong word, but it is not a truth from God's word. We will not be perfect on earth. We have a sin nature. I need a Savior, not just because I sin, but because I am a sinner. Remember, I think it was this morning we said, 1 John 4, 4:8, I believe it is, God, what? Is love. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. What are those? Those are state of being verbs. I just am. I have a sin nature. Now, old things are passed away. Positionally, all things are become new. So I need to live like all things are become new. But ultimately, man, I'm not going to battle with sin someday. Aren't you looking forward to that day when you don't have to battle with complaining? When you don't have to battle with anger? When you don't have to battle, because you'll be like Him. We will see Him in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. There's ultimate sanctification. Wow! That doesn't make us God. Some church, it's not a church, I can't use that word. Some religious organizations tend to believe that you can become a god someday. Not to pick on them, but that's one of the things the Mormons believe and are very clear with. Man, you and I aren't going to be a god someday. I'm thankful that I won't struggle with sin in heaven, the ultimate point of sanctification. Why? Because I will see Jesus for who He is. I will be there and ultimately have that being set apart from the world. Not just positionally here on earth, but that ultimate sanctification. Man, set apart from that sin. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Wow, what a day. Aren't you looking forward to that day? And those are things that cause us to rejoice. Romans chapter 8, we're reminded of some of those truths. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. One, this is going to happen when we see Him. We saw that. But also, I will be completely changed. Paul reminds us in Corinthians that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 is where we'll start here. Romans chapter 8, verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him whom hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious gospel of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in what? Pain. Together until now. Do you have pain in your body? Ever? I mean, I do at times. I'm a big baby when it comes to pain. I hate pain. But we all battle with pain at times. Some of you, man, you live it every day. God knows. I can't understand. Man, I can hurt for you. I can pray for you. But aren't you thankful God knows? But not simply that. Someday, why our bodies are groaning and travailing in pain, where, man, this is hard work. But someday it's going to be different. I'm going to ultimately be sanctified, not only from sin, but, man, even the sufferings of sin. We are all under the curse. Genesis 2, Genesis 3, seeing that whole aspect. Not that we have this pain because of all my sin in my life. Now, sometimes sin has natural consequences, and part of that is physical problems, isn't it? But not always. Man, I have a cousin who, he was, I don't know, he's my age, and what was it, 2 years ago, he passed away, brain tumor. Battled with that, left three young kids, his wife and three young kids. And man, did he have brain cancer because he was a sinner? Yes. But did he have brain cancer because of his sin? No. He lived in the world. Ultimate sanctification will come, and my body will be set apart from the pain of this world. Aren't you thankful? Heaven is, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And man, that idea of a pilgrimage. Man, people go on a pilgrimage to Mecca. People go on a pilgrimage to Rome. Gotta go say, wait a second, we're on a pilgrimage. We're going to heaven. This is not my home. We are passing through. I will ultimately be sanctified someday. Here on earth, I'm positionally sanctified. Someday, I will have that ultimate sanctification. I won't battle with sin. I'm excited about that. I won't have pain. Man, that's exciting. Heaven is just such a different place. And the Bible promises us ultimate sanctification. Man, look at verse, let's see, where did we stop? Verse 22. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Have you already been adopted positionally? Yes, but not ultimately. We have the ultimate end, the ultimate sanctification, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm thankful. This, man, this is just a tabernacle, our body. The Bible talks about it as a tabernacle. And a tabernacle, kids, is just another word for tent. Anybody like going camping here? You set up a tent, right? And man, that's pretty fun. And going through that, some of you are like, no, we don't like setting up tents anymore. Man, I remember I was a kid and we had pop-up campers. And man, that was always great. We enjoyed that. And I think it was a couple years. I moved out of the house, went to college, and Dad got a hard shell. And maybe he just got tired of it. And they ended up going back. It's just him and Mom now, and they've got a pop-up tent again. But they're like, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work in our tents of our bodies, isn't it? Man, we battle with sin every day. And man, that Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And man, I struggle with sin, and I'm the chief of sinners. Positionally, I'm a son of God. But I don't have that ultimate sanctification yet. I'm not sinlessly perfected. I don't have that here on earth. But there's an ultimate point of sanctification where I'll be separated from that. What a day that'll be. I mean, that's exciting. That brings joy. That brings happiness, contentment, excitedness, peace, so many things. And Paul's bringing some of those out here in Romans chapter 8. He says in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, what? Wait for it. We're waiting for ultimate sanctification. It is coming. Josiah, it may seem like forever till you die. And we hope it is. But you know what? We don't know when we're going to die. And when we get saved, someday we'll be ultimately sanctified. That's a day. That's exciting. We wait for that. We look forward to that. But while we're waiting, while we're looking forward to that, we have to live number three in that what? Practical sanctification stage. Back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read 1 and 2 again, and then we'll go into verse 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Okay, Ben, come up here one more time while we're reading through this. So behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should not be a son of the devil, but that we should be called the sons of God. And what a blessing. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I'm not of the world. The world doesn't understand. Man, I look like a fool. What are you doing going to church on a Sunday night? That you just don't make sense. Like, it's beautiful outside. Man, you could be sitting in your lazy boy watching TV. I mean, there are so many other things we could do in life, but church, it doesn't make sense to go to church to the world. That's a waste of a good day. But wait a second. I'm the son of God. I want to be with God, and I want to be with my family, my spiritual family. I mean, man, that is where Hebrews talks about the importance of assembling together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why? We are positionally a child of God. Praise God for that. So positionally, he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, and that's where Ben goes then for that ultimate sanctification, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, ultimately, I will be like him. Why? Because I'll see him like he is. I won't be God. But man, I won't have that body that struggles in pain. What a blessing. I won't have that body that battles with sin every day. Wow, what a blessing. There's that ultimate sanctification. But then, Ben, if you'll come down here to the first row, we've got that positional sanctification. We've got the ultimate sanctification. But between the first and second row, we've got the devil's family and God's family. Positionally, I'm God's family. But sometimes I choose to live like I'm in the devil's family. Right? God allows us to choose. So Ben is a son of God, but he's standing at a crossroads. In fact, turn around so everybody can see. You're at a crossroads of decision here. What am I going to do? There are points in life where we say, we give into our sin, right? Man, the lust. We're drawn away of our own lust, and we look like the what? The world, the devil's family. I was at Sunday school, I think I was talking about music and our music choices and how, man, we want to be so careful with the music that we choose as a church family, but personally in our own lives, that, man, I don't look like I'm in the devil's family anymore. When someone pulls up to me at a stoplight, they're wondering, oh, are they in the devil's family? And granted, people don't think that way. But is there a difference? Am I practically sanctified? Yes, I may be positionally sanctified, but am I being practically sanctified here or of God's family? You need to take a seat, Ben. We may have you come up one more time. But the whole aspect of being practically sanctified. How am I living life today? Now, tomorrow is what? And what do I have to do tomorrow? I need to be fruitful by being practically sanctified, don't I? Tomorrow, I'm not to look like the devil's family. Well, Sunday I'm not, because, man, I'm in God's house. And, man, I'm with God's people. And, man, I live like a Christian. But Monday comes. And, man, some people would never know I was a Christian. Doesn't that happen? Yeah. Now, I hope it doesn't happen with any of us. But the reality is, man, it's between you and me and God. You don't have to come to me. I'm not your priest. Aren't you thankful? Anybody thankful for that, right? I'm thankful you're not my priest. Man, I'm thankful that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Man, we go to him. We confess our sins. We've talked about in 1 John. But there's that point of, man, why do I have to keep confessing my sin? Let's just be practically sanctified. Let's live like God tomorrow. Now, someday we're reminded we'll have ultimate sanctification. Do you remember what verse 2 says? Why will we be like him? We'll see him as he is. Now, I can't see Jesus as he truly is. I mean, the more I study, the more it blows me away how awesome God is. Man, just to study this week on sanctification, man, I was loving it. And man, it was so exciting to study some of these things out. I'm like, wow, what a blessing. But I don't always live like it then. Man, I wish I would always choose to take God's strength instead of complain. Or I'd choose to take God's strength instead of get angry. But practically, I don't always live like I'm sanctified. See, verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope, what is that hope? Remember, hope here is confidence. Not just, man, I hope for my birthday I'm going to get. But this hope here is confidence. It says, and every man that hath this hope or this confidence in him purifieth himself. I have confidence that ultimately someday I will be sanctified. Aren't you thankful for that? That's exciting. Because I have that confidence, now I face my battle every day. Every choice. Can I live like the world or am I going to live like God? we're reminded constantly, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, we can't. I was reading about a man. He was pardoned for, I don't even remember what his crime was. He was in prison. He was pardoned. The governor even pardoned him. I mean, this was a big deal, but he wouldn't leave. What? He wouldn't leave prison? I mean, what do you do? Do you arrest the guy to put him back in? I mean, well, wait a second. They ultimately said it has to come that he has to choose it. And you and I have that choice. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, positionally, you're sanctified. You'll never lose your salvation. Ultimately, man, it's coming. What a day. But every day, you and I have a battle. Am I yielding to the flesh or am I yielding to the Spirit? Galatians 5. Where am I going to yield? Which dog am I going to feed? Am I going to feed the one that's just going to be nasty like the world? And you know, it's really easy to feed that one. Just don't be in the Bible. Remember 1 John, we've been talking about abiding in Him. Well, you and I need to be practically sanctified. I have a choice every day. In fact, more than one time a day. Man, wouldn't it be nice if it was just get up in the morning and read my Bible and I'm practically sanctified for that day? But chances are 5 minutes later, you're going to have to choose. How am I going to respond? Am I going to have the Word of God make a practical difference in my life? The temptation comes. What do I do? Yeah, I know I'm a son of God. And I know ultimately I'm going to not struggle with sin and I'm not going to have the pain. But I'm living right here and I'm drawn away of my own lust and enticed, James says. But instead I need to yield to God and His Word. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 deal with some of those practical truths. I can be practically sanctified. Remember, sanctified means to be set apart, right? So I have a choice. Am I going to be like the world or set apart from the world? I'm thankful I'm saved. I know positionally I'm a son of God. I know ultimately I will be sanctified. I'm going to heaven someday. But I'm telling you, before the night ends, I have a choice. I probably have a few choices. Am I going to be sanctified, set apart from the world's way, or am I just going to let those temptations draw me and win? John's saying that in 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Peter reminds us, be ye holy, or God reminds us through Peter, be ye holy as I am holy. Man, I know I'm a son of God. That's what motivates me to live godly. Not just cleaning up my life. God, I need you to do a work in my life. Would you help me to be practically sanctified tomorrow? Would you help me to live like you? 2 Peter 3:8, well, I believe it was our first memory verse of this year. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, we're growing. There's that point of growth. And you know, when I say no one time to a sin, the next time I'm tempted with sin, it's easier to say no. But when I say yes, it's easier to say yes. Yielding to God gives me that practical sanctification. Yielding to His Word. Jesus Christ said in John 17, as He's praying, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy what? Word is truth. That's why you and I, and kids, it's the same for you. That's why you and I need God's Word every day. I mean, we can ask ourselves, does the Bible command me as a Christian to read the Bible every day? I don't think it says every day. But do I need it every day? In fact, I need it more than every day. The sad reality, I need it every moment of every day. I mean, and yes, I can't constantly be reading the Bible. But that's where Psalm 119, 9 through 11, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart that I might not. That's being practically sanctified. God's Word wants to make that difference in my life. Not trying harder. Oh, I got to try harder. Oh, I got to yield to God and let His power change me. His power will practically sanctify me so that tomorrow I'll look different. That's exciting because it has nothing to do with me except for God. I'm yielding to you and your Word. Why is it that we make God's word a priority at church? I mean, man, we could be like some of these churches where, man, we've got a 10-minute sermonette. There's lots of them out there. And in some ways, man, you know how less preparation I'd have to do? I mean, we could go through stuff. But wait a second. We need God's word. I need to feed on God's word. I need to feast on God's word so that I can be practically sanctified. He says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That personal commitment. Are you personally committed to being sanctified? Man, you've made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You know you'll ultimately be sanctified. But if you made that decision to a personal commitment, I will, God, by your strength, be sanctified practically this week. I'll be like you. But God, that means I need your help. I can't do it. I won't react right. I won't respond right. I won't choose right, except for I yield to you and your word. That personal commitment. A.W. Tozer said, an honest man with an open Bible and a pad and pencil is sure to find out what is wrong with him very quickly. Am I really honest with God? God, I have problems. You ever had a time in your life where you thought you were beyond sin? I did, okay? So this is just honesty moment. Anybody else? I remember as a teenager, man, I thought, I don't think I sinned today. Or am I the only crazy one? Anybody else like that here? Okay, good, good. At least there's somebody. Man, I remember thinking through those times, and God grew me through those. And man, I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? Man, I battle with sin so much. But I can be practically sanctified. I don't have to choose sin. Because God wants to strengthen me. I'm positionally sanctified. Ultimately, someday I won't battle with it. But tomorrow I've got a choice. I need to be practically sanctified, set apart from the world unto God. And why is that? Because we'll see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Someday we'll see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope that is in him purifieth himself. We have an ultimate example, a personal example. Jesus Christ, so many things we could look at. Man, as he talks about himself, looking, Colossians, I believe it is, that talks about, no, Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and following, talking about seeing him and how he came down to the earth. He was the ultimate example. And man, when we see him, man, we're motivated like him. Hebrews chapter 12, real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, there's so much, and we won't read this whole passage. Mark these verses down, though, verses 1 through 11. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11. We don't have time to read through all of those, but real quickly. We see what this practical sanctification looks like. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily what? Beset us. I'm at that crossroads to be practically sanctified. Am I choosing the devil's way or to look like the world, or am I choosing God's way? Let's lay aside those things and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Why will someday, when I will ultimately be sanctified, I will be like him? Why? Because I'll see him as he is. So right now, I need to look to Jesus. That's how I'll be practically sanctified. I need to look to Jesus tomorrow. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Remember Psalm 27, 13 and 14? I don't have to faint. I can believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living while I'm still practically being sanctified. I haven't met that ultimate sanctification yet. I believe God is good, and I will see his goodness here. He goes on, verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And he continues on, and we won't read the rest of these verses up through 11, but we see even coming to the point of chastening or discipline, not punishment. Punishment is just a punishment. But God chastens us. He'll discipline us so that I'm drawn to that practical sanctification, so that tomorrow I choose to live like him. I didn't yesterday. That's why there's disciplining kids, isn't there? That's why there's all sorts of discipline in life, so that I will be practically set apart unto God. And sanctification is an exciting stuff. Maybe you're not as excited as I am. Sanctification is exciting, isn't it?
So let's live it. Man, you know God as Savior, you're positionally there. That's exciting. Someday, you got it. I mean, man, we won't have pain. I won't battle with sin. What a day that will be. But tomorrow, I have a choice. God, I want to live like I'm going to ultimately be sanctified. Let's yield to God and His Word. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, would You make a difference in our lives? I'm just so thankful that You continue to change us. God, I know we've had a lot of big words and we've talked a lot about this idea of being set apart from the world unto You. God, would You make a difference in our lives tonight, tomorrow? God, that we would be like You as we're set apart unto God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I'm not saved. I don't have that positional sanctification and I need that. Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? Anybody at all, just lift your hand and say, Pastor Josh, I need to be saved. I'll pray for you. I won't call you out. Oh, God wants to save you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, God has just challenged me. Maybe it's, man, I'm struggling with life and I'm thankful that someday I'm going to be ultimately sanctified. Maybe it's, there's just some area of practical living I'm struggling with and God has challenged me. I need to be practically sanctified. Would you just say, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. God will work. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Let God work. Make that commitment to be practically sanctified as we go through life. Father, we thank You for Your love. Help us to constantly yield to You and make that difference in life. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. What song number is that there?